Matthew chapter 10. And let's pray before we begin our Bible study this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the work that you want to do. Constantly you're at work, working on us and working through us. And this morning we want to say a special prayer for our team that is still on the mission trip. I ask, Lord, that you would keep them safe, protect them. And I pray that you would use them today as they visit the colonials, some of the poorest spots in Juarez, and as they have a block party and hand out more gifts this afternoon, I pray that you would bless that effort, that many kids would come into your kingdom, and that the members of the team would continue to be changed by their experience on that trip. We ask that you would do your work in us this morning. Minister. We're open, Lord, to hear directly from you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has anybody here ever been burned by fine print? You ever sign a document or a contract with someone and there's a very important detail that you don't notice because it's hidden in the document somewhere, in fine print, and that detail comes back to bite you later? Isn't that a bummer? Don't you feel cheated? Why weren't they just up front, you know? Or perhaps you've gotten an advertisement, some kind of an ad in the paper, and it says, come to the store and get this deal, and you get all excited, you cut it out, you go to the store, and, hey, where's my deal? And they say, well, didn't you read the fine print? And there's something about it that you needed to do in order to get that deal. You feel cheated, don't you? You feel like you were deceived, like you were tricked into the place. Well, I want you to know, disciples of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, Jesus isn't like that with us. Jesus doesn't use fine print. Jesus is very upfront and he's straightforward. And Jesus tells us what we can expect as his disciples. He tells us straight up front, the blessings that we will enjoy as Christians. But then he also tells us what difficulties we can expect to face as Christians. And I love that about the Lord. He puts everything out on the table. Nothing's hidden. We can all see it. And we're warned. And we know exactly what we can expect. And there are difficulties in the Christian life that you can expect to face. And I want to look at a very important one this morning. Here in Matthew chapter 10, the disciples are going out on a short-term mission trip. They're very excited about what's going to take place. God is going to use them greatly. They're going to preach the gospel. They're going to be doing miracles, healings, all sorts of awesome things. There they go, out into the ministry. But look what Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. This isn't a passage that you find underlined in many Bibles. I've never met a Christian who claims these promises by faith. I want to be beaten in the synagogue half to death. I claim that promise, Lord. Have it happen. But this is a very realistic thing that you need to consider as a Christian, my friend. Reality is persecution is inevitable for the child of God. You can't expect to be persecuted for your faith in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian and you are following the Lord with all of your heart, and if you have it in your mind to be a strong, effective witness for Jesus Christ, you will face persecution. It's not if, it's when. And Jesus is up front with us. He lets us know. Here he lets us know. In other places in Scripture, we're told the same. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." That's the promise. That's reality. Brother and sister in Christ, in Jesus Christ, satisfaction guaranteed. Amen? But persecution guaranteed as well. And we need to know that. These 12 guys, they're going to go out in the ministry. They're going to go out and do this mission trip. And Jesus says, you need to understand something. When you go out on this trip, you can expect this. You'll be persecuted. In verse 16, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Whoa! Wolves are natural predators of sheep. You know what wolves like to do to sheep? Tear them apart. Limb from limb. Slaughter them. Eat them. And Jesus would say, "Disciples, you're sheep. And you're going to go out into the ministry field. You're going to go out into this world. And you're going to go right out there amongst wolves." We need to pray for our mission team, don't we? Pray for anyone who's on the mission field. Let me ask you the question, my brother and sister in Christ. Why should we expect to be persecuted as Christians? Now, I want you to think through. Why should you expect that? Well, there's a number of reasons. First and foremost, we're in a spiritual war. Did you know that? Spiritual warfare. I don't know if you know this, but when you gave your heart to Christ, you did become a child of God, but you also became a soldier. And that shouldn't be in fine print. That's a known. As Christians, we are involved in the struggle over the souls of men and women. It is a battlefield, and every war is messy, and you will get battle scars. So you can expect it. We also know from Scripture that we have a formidable enemy, don't we? Satan, the devil, he's our enemy. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. In Scripture, he's called the roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's called the serpent who seeks to deceive. In the parable of the sower sowing seed, the devil is the bird that comes and rips off the word of God from our hearts. In Revelation chapter 12, Satan is called the dragon, waiting, crouching to kill and destroy. And here he's called a wolf, wanting to tear apart sheep. We have an enemy. And Satan has legions of demons working for him, and he has many human agents working for him. They're blind to the gospel, and they will be used as his agents to persecute his people, the church. And that's just a fact. And despite that, even knowing that, we have an enemy and we're in warfare. Also, we are children of light living in a dark world. Wherever you go, you create ripples, Christian. You're different. Persecution is to be expected. And in fact, let me say it this way. Persecution for a Christian is the norm. You should consider it as the norm, as a normal part of operating as a Christian. In fact, if you're not being persecuted for your faith in Christ Jesus, then you're not salty enough. You're not doing your job. There will be persecution. Great story out of John Wesley's life. John Wesley, you know, that awesome preacher, man, a missionary. He went out and did so much. And one day he was riding along a road and it dawned on him that 3 whole days had passed in which he had suffered no persecution. Not a brick or an egg had been thrown at him for 3 days. Alarmed, he stopped his horse and exclaimed, "Something must be wrong. Have I sinned? Have I backslidden?" He got off his horse. He went down on his knees and began interceding with God to show him where, if any, there had been any fault. A rough fellow on the other side of the hedge, hearing the prayer, looked across and recognized the preacher. "I'll fix that Methodist preacher," he said, picking up a brick and tossing it over at him. It missed its mark and fell harmlessly beside John, but Wesley leaped to his feet joyfully, exclaiming, "Thank God, it's all right. I still have his presence." It's to be expected. John Wesley had a lot of young men that he would train to be preachers, and he would send them out in the mission field to preach. And when they would come back to him, he'd have 2 questions for them. Number 1, has anyone been converted? Number 2, did anyone get mad? If the answer was no to both questions, he told them he didn't think the Lord had called them to preach the gospel and to go about and find another business. It is to be seen as norm. It's a promise that we don't underline, but I even see it as a measure. Jesus said, "Beware if all men speak well of you. For so they did the false prophets." Be careful. We've got to be salty and we've got to expect that kind of persecution. Look at the extreme types of persecution these disciples would face. Just look at it in the passage. In verse 17, he says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils." That is being persecuted by government entities. That is being handed over to a legal body in a government, civil authorities, and being persecuted by the government. The disciples would experience that. The end of verse 17 says they're going to scourge you in their synagogues. That means beaten. Beaten with whips. In synagogues. Religious institutions, imagine that, in a synagogue or a place of worship where the true messengers of God are, the true messengers of God would be beaten. You'll experience that. Verse 19 or verse 18, you'll be brought before governors and kings. These guys would stand before powerful men and women, rulers, persecuted. And those things can result in horrible things like imprisonment, banishment, loss of property, loss of job, all of that. Verse 21, it says, now brother will deliver up brother to death. and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Martyrdom. The ultimate price for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody taking your life. It says in verse 22, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Now, when it says hated by all, it doesn't mean that everyone you meet as a Christian is going to hate you. It's not an all-inclusive thing. What Jesus is saying that you will be hated by all nationalities, all cultures, all classes of men. If you go and minister in China, there will be some who love Jesus and love you. There will be others who hate Jesus and will hate you. You can expect to have that type of persecution and hatred from any sort of person, any sort of group. The poor, there will be some who love Jesus and love you. In the poor, there will be some who hate Jesus and hate you. In the rich, same deal. All those things can be expected, and those are extreme forms of persecution, aren't they? Now, it is doubtful that the disciples experienced these specific types of persecution on this short-term mission trip that they're about to go on. No doubt they experienced some of it, but when you look at this passage, you notice that it's sort of predictive, isn't it? It's sort of prophetic in nature. It's speaking about the future. And there are some that would even say that this passage will literally be fulfilled in the last days, during the last tribulation. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ on those days, you will experience persecution like that in a great, great degree of severity. But no doubt the disciples would experience some persecution on that short-term mission trip like this. And we know that all of the apostles did eventually experience things like this in their lives as recorded in the book of Acts. What happened to the 12 disciples? Well, John died of extreme old age in Ephesus. Peter was crucified head downward during the persecution of Nero. Andrew died on a cross. James, the younger brother of the Savior, was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew was flayed alive. James, the elder son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Thomas, the doubter, was run through the body with a lance. Philip was hanged against a pillar. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. The other Simon died on a cross as well. They would all face it. They would become martyrs. And there was much persecution, and Jesus told them ahead of time exactly what to expect. And throughout church history, we've seen that horrible kind of thing taking place with Christians. Early on, when the church was just being born and they were growing, the Roman Empire was in charge and the emperors of Rome began to persecute Christians. You're probably familiar with this, those of you who know your church history. Every year, everybody in the Roman Empire was required to show up at the main place in their city, offer incense, and say, Caesar is Lord. Now, if you're a Christian, are you allowed to do that? And so the Christians would show up and they wouldn't say, Caesar is Lord. They'd stand their ground and say, Jesus is Lord. And they were thrown to the lions. They were persecuted. The church went underground. They lived in catacombs. Imagine doing that. Today, on our planet, people are facing extreme forms of persecution for being a Christian and for sharing the gospel. We don't see hardly any of it here in America, but I want you to know there are things going on to our brothers and sisters in Christ on this planet that we can't even understand. Kim and I have recently been getting involved in an organization called the Voice of the Martyrs. And they give a weekly or a monthly newsletter, the Voice of the Martyrs. And I don't know if you can see this too well, but you see those three women behind bars? They're in jail. They live in Indonesia, and you know why they got arrested? Because they had a Sunday that they called Happy Sunday, invited kids in the neighborhood to come to their house and told them about Jesus. And they're in a jail. They're in a prison today. We think children's ministry is hard here in America? And this happens. And this is going on. Brother and sister in Christ, I know that we don't experience things like that in this country. Imprisonment, death, beatings. And we don't experience that yet. But there are forms of persecution that we do face here as Christians, here in America. And you should expect to be persecuted, even if it's limited like it is here in America. But you should be persecuted. You can be discriminated against in this country for loving Jesus. You can be mocked. You can have your faith in Jesus Christ hinder your career. It can take place and it can happen. And things like that will happen if you're following Christ as strong as you should. Amy Carmichael, beautiful sister, wonderful poet. She wrote this poem. It's entitled, No Scar? Question mark. It says, hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. But hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by archers spent, leaned against a tree to die and rent. By ravening beasts that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the master shall the servant be? And pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wounds nor scar? Good question. Good measure. Has your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ cost you anything? Has there been any scar in your life whatsoever? Have you taken any on the chin? Have you gotten any battle wounds? Have you been mocked? Have you ever been made fun of? There is a sacrifice to following the Lord Jesus Christ and being a witness for Him. Who's doing the persecuting in this passage, folks? Well, verse 17 tells us that government authorities can do the persecuting. Religious leaders can do the persecuting. Verse 18, kings and governors, important men and women can do the persecuting. But look at verse 21. Isn't that a tough one? Brother will deliver up brother to death and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? And again, that would be, I think, primarily pointing prophetically ahead to the horrible things that will happen during the tribulation period. But I have found today that some of the most heavy persecution a Christian can face is from their own relatives. A son or a daughter who wants to follow Christ with all of their heart, and their mom and dad say, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're fanatical. Or a child that gives a mom or dad a hard time for following Jesus. Or how about this one? A person who's married to an unbelieving spouse, and that unbelieving spouse just gives their spouse a hard time for following Jesus. Those are hard. Or a good friend. Those are the hardest things, but we got to be ready for them. We have to expect them. Why do people persecute Christians? What's the simple truth? What is it about you as a Christian that causes people to persecute you? Why does this happen? Very short, simple answer. Because there are people who hate Jesus. That's just the reality of the situation. There are people on this planet who passionately hate the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're in the time of Christmas, the Christmas season, and people tend to tolerate Jesus a little more during this time of the year. The cute little baby, you know, in the manger. But the Gospels teach that that little baby grew up. And he said some things that really challenged some people, and he rocked the boat. And there are people that passionately hate him. How did they treat Jesus? Did they welcome him on his first coming? Everything that we looked at in this passage, Jesus faced. He was brought before civil authorities, wasn't he? He was beaten and scourged at the command of religious leaders. He was put through mock trials. He was beaten. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They crucified him on the cross. Jesus was hated. And I want you to understand something this morning. If you're linked to Jesus, those people that hate Jesus will hate you too. Don't take it personal. Let Jesus take it personal. And believe me, he does. And there'll be settlement. But Jesus did tell us that in John chapter 15. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And look down there in verse 24 and 25 of our text. Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Jesus says, look, you're going to go out, sheep among wolves, you'll be persecuted, you'll face these tough things. And here's why. I'm your teacher, you're my disciple. I'm your master, you're my servant. I'm the ruler of the household, you're a member of my family. And if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Jesus was persecuted. Man, when he was in his public ministry, religious leaders were calling the Son of God Beelzebub. You know what Beelzebub is? It's a way of another name for Satan. When Jesus was doing miracles, healing people. Some of the religious leaders came along and said, you know how he's doing it? By the power of Satan. Can you imagine such blasphemy? Brother and sister in Christ, you're a part of his household. If this happened with Jesus, what more can you expect? And have you noticed in our society how even Christians are starting to be thought upon and looked upon as the bad guys? You're a Bible-carrying Christian, you're a threat in our society. Why do people hate Jesus? Can you imagine that? Why? All the wonderful things he said? The wonderful things he did? I mean, here we are in a place where we love Jesus, amen? It's so hard for us to comprehend how anybody could hate Jesus after all that he's done and all that he's said and what the message of the gospel means. Why are there people out there that passionately hate Jesus? Because many people have been blinded by Satan. Satan has deceived many. Also, the Bible teaches that people hate God and hate the Lord Jesus Christ and hate the Word of God basically because of their own pride and arrogance. And Jesus said something that's very insightful on this in John chapter 3. He said, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." There are people that are afraid to come to Jesus. They're afraid to come to the light, and they hate God because they don't want to give up their dark life. They don't want to give up their sin. They want to grope around in the darkness. They feel like, hey, that's where I'm happy. I can do whatever I want there. And see, those people misread Jesus. Jesus isn't trying to give your life a bummer by taking away everything that's fun in your life. He's trying to fulfill your life, satisfy your life, give you hope and a joy and a peace. But the Bible says that people won't come to the light because they'd rather stay in their own dark world. Live their own sort of life. Maybe there's some here this morning who have not embraced Christ as Savior yet. Whatever the reason you might have, I want to invite you. Surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you're not made that decision yet because you want to keep your own life. You know, you've got your own thing going. You don't want anybody meddling in your life, and there's certain things in your life that you just don't want to give up. Give them up for Christ. Do you care anything about your eternal destiny? And can you understand this morning that those things, perhaps sins in your life that you want to protect and keep, might be destroying you and your family, and that the Lord would want to deliver you from that and change your life, make you born again and give you a life of peace? Or perhaps there'd be some here this morning that would be too prideful.
I don't need Jesus. I'm my own man.
Humble yourself in the presence of Jesus Christ here this morning and give your life to Him. It won't be the easiest road, as we're talking about this morning, but it will be the most satisfying, and it's the right road. And it leads to heaven. Brother and sister in Christ, persecution is inevitable. How should you and I respond to it? What plan of attack? What should we know? Well, first of all, it's good to know that you're at least going to get it, right? That's good information going into it. You're a Christian. You want to follow Christ. You want to make a stand. Boom, away you go. You know that there's going to be persecution that you'll have to face. That's always good. I'm glad Jesus told us up front. Amen. Well, what are some other things that you can do? Well, again, look through the passage up in verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Be wise as serpents. You know what that means? Be prudent. Be thoughtful in your witness for Jesus Christ. Don't do silly, reckless things. Think through how you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. For example, it might be just a little bit reckless to go right into the middle of a Muslim city that's hostile towards Christianity, stand on a soapbox, bring your passport microphone system, and begin preaching the gospel. Would that be wise? Would that be prudent? You should only do that if God tells you to do that, and you better see that one written in the clouds. But be wise as a serpent. You go into those countries incognito, working behind the scenes as you develop relationships. And you're wise like that. We have two missionaries that we support at our fellowship. One is in Pakistan, and one is in China. And when you email him, you can't mention his real name. He's being careful. He's being wise. And he's working quietly behind the scenes as he teaches English to Chinese students. Christian incognito. Dressed as a teacher. I love it. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You know what that means? Be righteous, brother and sister in Christ. Be innocent. Don't do anything that would allow the world to drag your name through the mud. Don't give people excuse to persecute you. Harmless. I love this one. In verse 18, it says, you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake. In verse 22, it says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. Why are we to be persecuted, Christian? For our own sake? For our own name? Whose name's sake? Jesus. Make sure that when you're being persecuted, it's because of Jesus, not because you're being weird. Not because you're being silly. Not because you're being intentionally offensive to people. Jesus also told us elsewhere that we are to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Make sure that you're only being persecuted for the right reason. Verse 19 is a beautiful one to remember. In the hour of persecution, verse 19, when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Isn't that a precious, wonderful promise? Perhaps you've thought about it. What if I had to stand before governors and kings? What if I was standing before someone who was going to persecute me in this drastic sort of way? Could I do it? Could I handle it? Or would I cave? What would I say? Jesus says, don't worry about it. You'll be given the words to say at that moment. And you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to meet persecution with His strength. By the way, that's not a verse that preachers are allowed to use when they're giving messages. Don't need to prepare for your sermon. Just stand up and the words will be given to you. I've heard preachers like that. I don't enjoy listening to them. But at the moment of tribulation, at the moment of persecution, when you're caught off guard, rest assured, God, the Holy Spirit, will use you. And He'll speak through you and He'll give you the words to say. And it's beautiful to see that in the Scripture. How the Holy Spirit gives Paul the Apostle just the right thing to say in that moment of persecution. And the things that Jesus was able to say right when He was being persecuted, you know? And how wonderful it is to have that promise. To know that the Spirit will use you, will speak through you, and will give you all the energy you need. Here's a good one. Verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. If you're persecuted and there's a way of escape, take it. Unless the Lord says you are to testify there. Verse 26, therefore do not fear them, Jesus says to these disciples, For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. This is beautiful. Always remember this. In the hour of persecution, the truth will prevail one day. God's people will be vindicated. Everything that's hidden will one day be revealed, my friend. And I know it can look very dark sometimes on this planet. I know Christians can face dark hours, tough times. But the Bible teaches that there's coming a day when God's people will be vindicated, when the truth will be known. And my brother and sister in Christ, if you belong to Christ, you're on the side that prevails. Amen? So follow Him. Serve Him. Be a witness for Him. I want to close this morning by asking some of my brothers and sisters to make a decision. I've touched on it a lot in this message, and I think it's very important. It's a good measure. Are you scarred? Is this promise true in your life? Are you following Christ wholeheartedly? To where you even bug people? If you're not following Christ like that, I want to invite you to make that decision to do so. Hey, make a dent in the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Let God's light shine through your life, in your office, in your place, in your sphere of influence. You'll make some people upset, no doubt. But you also see many people come to Christ through your life. It takes courage, it takes guts, but make the decision. Don't let Christianity be a game that you play. Let it be the life that you live. Let it be the reason that you live. We support a number of missionaries with Gospel for Asia. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful missions organization. And they're very good about letting us know if there's been any changes in their organization with various missionaries. And I just got a letter here recently about a new missionary that we will be supporting. Her name is Sangeeta Patnaik. And I probably butchered the name. But another missionary that we had been supporting became self-supporting in her ministry. And so Gospel for Asia said, we don't need to support her anymore. She's self-supporting. Praise God. Here's another missionary. I love that. And you get her testimony. She was born on June 16th, 1985. And she says, I was born into a Hindu family in India. From childhood, I was pious and very devout as I had a strong religious background. Though I performed the rituals regularly, I lacked the real joy of peace and happiness. The vacuum within me led to search for reality. During this time, my uncle, who became a Christian, shared about the need of receiving Jesus. Initially, I was hesitant, but when I saw the change in my uncle's life, a hunger to know Jesus grew in me. The Lord touched my heart, and with tears, I received Jesus. All of a sudden, my father passed away. The problem became more devastating when opposition came from our villagers to deny our faith. 21-year-old girl says, but we stood firm and did not waver. During this time, my faith was strengthened through the Word of God. Slowly, I developed a desire to reach the lost at any cost. Jesus graciously called me for His glorious ministry through His Word. With much prayer, I joined a Gospel for Asia Bible school. 21-year-old woman in a Hindu country. serving Christ despite having lost her father and other friends in that village. You know, how do we get persecuted compared to that? Guys, really? And yet how weak are we in our faith? Let's step it up, shall we? Let's follow Christ wholeheartedly. Let's stand firm for Him. So I want to ask my brothers and sisters in Christ to make that decision. To go the extra mile. To determine to be a disciple of Christ Jesus who will go out and make an impact. And face the persecutions, and don't forget this, enjoy the blessings, because there are many. The peace and the joy and the contentment and the glory of knowing that you're doing all you can for the kingdom of God. Wonderful. So I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I would also like to give anyone an opportunity here this morning to give their life to Christ for the first time. And then as we pray and close, I also want to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ across the planet. Let's ask that the Lord would be with them this season. Let's pray for them. Father, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the complete openness that you have with us. Lord, you have called us to follow you no matter what. And the road is narrow. And there are many joys and blessings on this road. And we love it. And we love being with you. Grant us strength. Grant us faith, Lord, to endure the hard times. To endure the persecution that would come. And I ask, Lord, that you would encourage all of your people here this morning. If there would be anyone here this morning who just needs to simply, and you know who you are, you just simply need to say to the Lord, I'm going to stop playing games. I will follow you come what may. I will rock the boat. I will be a disciple. If that's you, you don't need to raise your hand, but you just simply need to bow in your head, bow in your heart. And come to the Lord this morning and say, Lord Jesus, just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I want to serve you wholeheartedly. No holding back. And you can even admit to Him, say, Lord, I'm scared. I'm afraid. But then go further than that and say, Lord, empower me. Help me. Make me bolder. Why don't you just take this time now and say that to the Lord? Amen, Father, praise your name. And then if there would be anyone here this morning who's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, whatever reason, your arrogance has gotten in the way. Or what you consider to be a fun life has gotten in the way. Give that away. Come to Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins and He rose again. The third day He's alive to be your Savior. He'll change your life forever. And He'll give your life meaning and purpose. I'd like to lead you in a prayer. From your heart, say, Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins. Change me. I admit my need for you. I admit that I have sinned. And I will let nothing hold me back anymore, Lord. I want to follow you. And then let's all stand together and join with me in prayer for the persecuted church across the world. Let's stand. in the honor of Jesus Christ, and really in the honor of those who are being persecuted. Father, join with me in prayer. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all across this planet that are in prisons. We pray for these three ladies in Indonesia. We ask, Lord, for their release, and we ask that the gospel would be released to go forth in great power in that community. We pray for this new missionary that we're going to be supporting. Bless her as she travels all around in India and as she gets trained to share your word. We pray for the families of those who have been martyred, those who are suffering. Fill them with your strength. Fill them with your power. Encourage them. Father, I pray that your church would rise up all across this planet and stand for you with great boldness, no turning back. And I pray that would happen right here in this community as well. Every Christian represented here, every family represented here. You've been so good to us, Lord. Your grace is amazing. We want to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.